And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, many are called, but few are chosen. Well, that's rather worrisome, right? It's worrisome simply because it seems to say that not everyone who is called into the kingdom is really chosen for the kingdom. In which case, some might answer the call, but still not get in. And if God's going to make these kinds of distinctions, sometimes we think, well, wouldn't it be fairer only to call the chosen? Or maybe to choose all who are called? Well, fortunately, it turns out we can save ourselves anxiety over whether we're with the chosen, for it turns out Jesus is not playing one group, that is, the called, over against a second group, the chosen. All that's really going on here, grammatically speaking, is that Jesus is lifting up the truth that while all are called, God seeks all, God wants all, not all come. Okay, well, that still may put you off a bit. After all, why wouldn't everyone who's called come? I mean, we're talking about the kingdom of salvation versus darkness and the gnashing of teeth, after all. You'd have to be a mutton head not to run after the kingdom when you're called to it. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. The other week, from the prophet Ezekiel, we heard that God does not desire the death of sinners, but that they turn and be saved. All are called, and yet some do not come. Why? Well, because some refuse to acknowledge Jesus as the eternal Son of the Father, God of God, light of light, all of that. Some people prefer darkness to light. And that's precisely what was going on as Jesus confronted those representatives from the Sanhedrin, the priests, the elders, the Pharisees. He was calling them into the kingdom, into the wedding feast, and they were saying, no, nope, not going. Why? Because they would not, because they could not acknowledge him as the Son, as the Messiah, God in our flesh, come to bring salvation, a new life apart from the works of the law. Now, this issue of who Jesus is and whether or not someone acknowledges the truth of Jesus has really been lurking behind everything that we've been hearing from Matthew's gospel ever since Jesus turned to the disciples on the way of Caesarea Philippi and asked them, who do you say that I am? For it turns out that acknowledging the truth, confessing who Jesus truly is, also means accepting all that he has come to do. His life, his suffering, his death, his being raised on the third day, his ascending to the right hand of the Father until all enemies become his footstool, his atoning for the sins of the world, his becoming the source of a new and everlasting life restored to fellowship with the Father. To confess Jesus as Messiah means that you accept his work, and you hear and you heed his call. He says, follow me, take up the cross, come after me. If you confess Jesus is the Word made flesh, you listen and you follow, and then you accept the truth of what he says. Yes, that's right, Jesus. Love your enemy. Forgive without limit. Repent. And the question of acknowledging Jesus is at the root of his conflict with those leaders on that Tuesday morning of what we now call Holy Week. When they asked Jesus, by what authority do you do these things? They were refusing to acknowledge Jesus for who he was, for with all of his miracles and his healings and his exorcism and his bringing the dead to life, it was only too clear who he was, who he is, and by what authority he was doing his work. But the leaders wouldn't, and they couldn't admit that, for they were the ones who were refusing to repent. They were the ones who did not go out to John the Baptist when the tax collectors and the sinners went out there to confess and be forgiven. They were the wicked tenants refusing the vineyard's fruit to her rightful master. They were the builders rejecting the chosen stone. They did that because they did not want to fall on the stone and be broken. They did not want to lose their lives in this world. They did not want to bow or bend the knee. And so Jesus called them again with another parable about this wedding banquet and about an ill-prepared guest. And it turns out that in the Greek there, what he's saying is right now here, while you and I are talking, the kingdom of heaven has become like a king giving a feast and sending servants to call those who were invited, saying, come, for now all is ready. Now, at one level, these parables are pretty easy to grasp, and their meaning is easy to understand, right? God is the king. Jesus is the royal son. The bride at this banquet is God's people. The feast itself is God's kingdom. So Jesus says, do not refuse the king. Do not insult the son. Do not abuse the messengers, for such hatred and rebellion will bring judgment, destruction. That's the first part of what he said. And then you get the servants being sent out to gather all whom they can find to fill that banquet hall. And right there's your gospel. God seeks all he wants, all he gathers, all, both good and bad, Jew and Gentile, young and old, man and woman, rich and poor, young, old, black, white, brown, whatever. And yet, you will have noticed that as Jesus told the story, there was one guest not dressed for the wedding. And there's been a great deal of worry about what not being properly dressed amounts to. The man, when he was confronted, offered no defense. So what exactly happened there? Well, if we go with the sense of all the other parables that Jesus told the leaders that morning about those two sons, right? The one who said, I go out to work, Dad, and then didn't. And the other said, I'm not going, Dad, but then later repented. And both of them defied their father in different ways, but one of them at least repented. Or then the story of the wicked tenants who were refusing the master what was his. Or of those builders who rejected the stone that God had chosen. And then of the guests who refused to come to the wedding of the king's son. If we go with the logic of all of those, then this poorly dressed man is another example of defiance, rebellion, the refusal to acknowledge the king's son and his wedding for what they are, manifestations of the king's grace and power and goodness. You see, it wasn't so much that that man didn't have the right kind of garment, right, as if the occasion required a tuxedo and he showed up in a blazer and slacks. No, it was the man made no effort to dress his best. And before we get all worried that works righteousness is going to appear suddenly or that people are going to get ashamed for what they wear to church, the business of dressing your best wasn't about a work that would get you into the banquet or even about fitting in with how everyone else was dressed. It was about recognizing the king and his son. What do you do when you are called into their presence? You seek to look your best out of respect for them. It's not that you think your clothes are anything of themselves, but you want to show that you understand who the king and who his son are, and you want to show that you understand who you are. By coming to the feast in his street clothes, that man essentially said, look, I don't care about the king, I don't care about his son, who they are. It is a rejection of their status, and it is a rebellion against his place. And that's why he gets cast out into the darkness where there is weeping and sorrow and then also anger. Right? His colors were really shown for what they were, for gnashing of teeth. That's not about going through pain. That's about hatred and spite. Those who reject the king and his son actually hate them. They hate them more than they lament their own judgment. And so Jesus says, all are called, but some in hatred and anger, in ego and pride, refuse. For if you recognize the king and his son, and you get called to the feast, what do you do? Wouldn't you put on your best? Wouldn't you rush to that wedding hall? And think of the joy of being with the king. Think of the entertainment that would be offered. Think of how fine the food would be. You'd have to be a fool to pass up such a thing. So what does all of this then have to do with us? Well, the question to us then is, do we fail to acknowledge Jesus as the king's son, as God in the flesh, as Messiah? And per our old nature, inherited from Adam and Eve, the answer is yes. We too fail to live as we ought to in light of Christ. I mean, you might remember weeks ago when Jesus called the disciples to follow me and take up the cross and come after me, we had to admit at that point that we do not follow as we should, and we certainly don't care to confess the part that we have in his cross, that Jesus died because of our sin. I might think of just last week when we considered those wicked tenants. We had to acknowledge then that we often hoard the fruit of our own lives. We do not give the Master Son what we should. We do not live established on Him as our cornerstone. We don't bear His fruit abundantly. And here this morning with these words, our rebellion is seen as a different light. When we refuse to acknowledge the King's Son Jesus, we refuse to confess our sin. We refuse to see our need of Him. We refuse to repent. And then, as He comes to us and opens the door wide open to the feast and opens His arm to embrace and receive and bless us, we refuse Him because there's other stuff we'd rather do, other stuff we're more interested in. As we are called to Him in His light and grace, we often refuse Him by continuing on in darkness. Friends, you are called to the wedding banquet. You are called the beloved bride of the Son. You are given light and life in Him. So go ahead and confess and repent. Acknowledge the Son. Live with Him in His presence. Live with His love and His grace and forgiveness. Live in His purity and faithfulness. Listen to His word and pray. And do not be anxious about anything. Let your reasonableness, your yieldingness, your peaceful flexibility be known to all. Be content, for the Lord is at hand. And you are called, and you are chosen. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Until the glorious day of His appearing. Amen.